Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We learned in last week's text from the Word of God that the gospel that Martin Luther discovered in the Bible teaches us that we are saved not by our good deeds, but rather that a poor, lost, helpless sinner is justified by God, forgiven of his sins freely by God's grace through faith alone for the sake of the obedience and suffering of the Lord Jesus. The hymn that introduces this broadcast every week is Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. This is the heart of our Christian faith. How is a sinner justified by God, forgiven of all his sins, rescued from death and hell, and brought to heaven? It is not by his good deeds. It is not by his works. It is by God's grace alone. God gives us the credit for Christ's good deeds, even as Christ took the blame for our sins. This blessed exchange makes us saints. This we believe. This morning, we go from the Christian's faith to the Christian's life. Our text is Christ's introduction to the first sermon he preached, the Sermon on the Mount, and he describes the life of his saints. These are called the Beatitudes. Faith and life go together. Faith isn't simply assent to truth. The devil knows what God's truth is, but he doesn't trust in it. He cannot. We Christians do. We trust in the God who has rescued us from the clutches of the devil and the guilt of our sins, and from this faith flows a blessed life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you had enough money, you'd be happy, right? If you were content with what you had, you'd be happier still. Greed for money leads us into every kind of sorrow. To be poor in spirit means that whether you have much or little in the way of this world's goods, you know that your life does not consist in what you have. Your wealth is in heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The losses we suffer in life are too many to count. Death is the greatest loss. It's so permanent. Jesus promises comfort. It is the comfort of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That doesn't seem to make sense. Look at the rulers of this world and tell me how much meekness, how much humility you see. The proud, the boastful, the self-aggrandizing egotists appear to be in charge, but they're not. Jesus is. He who humbled himself all the way to the death of the cross is King of kings and Lord of lords. Those who find refuge in the suffering and death of Jesus will inherit the earth. Their Father in heaven moves heaven and earth for their benefit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The religions of this world teach you how to justify yourself. you declare yourself to be righteous. You choose which rules to obey. You obey them, and then you congratulate yourself on how righteous you are. The saints of God know that their own righteousness is like filthy rags. They hunger and thirst for a righteousness they cannot produce. They try with all their hearts to love God above all things and to love their neighbors as themselves. They see that their righteousness is not righteous enough. God sees their hunger and thirst for genuine righteousness, and he satisfies them. He reckons to them Christ's righteousness. He clothes them in the perfect righteousness of his only begotten Son. In this they find true spiritual rest. They are satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When God reckons you to be righteous with the impeccable righteousness of Jesus, you have tasted mercy. God has had pity on you. You pass on this pity to others. You show mercy because this is what you've received from God. Every time you show mercy to another in need, you do so in confidence that God will show you mercy in your need. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sinners cannot purify their sinful hearts. God can. He does so through his word. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." John 15, verse 3. The word of Christ is the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. This is how he makes our hearts pure. We see Christ, we see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The angels announced God's peace to the shepherds on that first Christmas. 33 years later, the Prince of Peace died on the cross. By his death, God made peace with us. Christ's blood takes away God's anger against sinners by taking away sin. This makes us peacemakers. Since we are at peace with God, we seek peace with others. We don't look for conflict. When we find ourselves in a conflict, we would rather be reconciled than vindicated. The peace of God we have in Christ gives us the desire for peace with those who have done us wrong. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We say it's not fair. It's not. That doesn't mean it isn't good for us. How can being treated unfairly be good for you? It's how we learn. Some things you cannot learn in a classroom. You learn it by living. You learn it by getting clobbered for doing what is right. Jesus did no wrong. When evil people insulted him, he remained silent. By enduring persecution for righteousness' sake, Jesus gained his kingdom. When we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we are being conformed to Christ's image. It's a privilege. It may not feel like it, but faith relies on God's word, not our feelings. A young man refuses to engage in the intimacy of marriage before he is married. The other boys make fun of him. A judge opposes same-sex marriage because it is an offense to the God who made us male and female, and she is persecuted. Christians take a stand on what is right. Those who punish them for it are wrong. Christians bear the wrong. They think of Jesus and thank God for the privilege of suffering for righteousness' sake. And this brings us to the final beatitude. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus said, "Blessed are those," 8 times. Then he says, "Blessed are you." He makes it personal. This is the last and the greatest of the Beatitudes. We should be exceedingly glad when people insult us, persecute us, and tell vicious lies about us on account of Christ, whom we confess. This is how they persecuted the prophets. This is how they persecuted the apostles. This is how they persecuted the early Christians. But look at them now. Listen to this description of the early Christian martyrs who are in heaven, recorded in Revelation chapter 7. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Great is your reward in heaven, Jesus promises. He has purchased this reward with his own blood. Lo, these are they of glorious fame who from the great affliction came, and in the flood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and blame. Young folks die. Old folks die. Everybody dies. It's not whether. It's not when. It's how. How do you die? Jesus preaches to us about the blessedness of our lives as saints here on earth, and then he concludes these Beatitudes with the promise of heaven. Now, some secular humanist types scoff at what they call the pie in the sky by and by when you die. And they claim that if we have a hope for heaven, well, that must mean that we are no earthly good. They're wrong. They're wrong. When you know you are headed toward heaven and you know why, then your life here on earth is blessed. People think of saints as Christians who have gone to heaven, or particularly famous people who did all sorts of wonderful things that the whole world recognizes. You even have people officially declared to be saints. But the saints are not just those Christians in heaven. Saints are Christians here on earth. In fact, every single Christian in the world is a saint. The Bible rarely uses the word Christian to talk about what we call a Christian. The Bible uses the word saint to refer to what we call a Christian. All Christians are saints. All Christians have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All Christians are forgiven of all their sins for Christ's sake. We become saints through faith alone. And all of God's saints, only God's saints, are on their way to heaven. The life of God's saints on earth is a life of true blessedness because we know our Savior. Because we know our Savior Jesus, we know we're going to heaven. And that knowledge, also teaches us what the blessed life here on earth is all about. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, and we invite you to tune in next week for the next broadcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit the congregations of our parish every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, divine service at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, divine service at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney. Tune in next week for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.